The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Dramatized by Michelin Wando. With Freddie Jones as Fyodor Karamazov, Michael Maloney as Alyosha, Stuart Wilson as Mitya, Tim Briley as Ivan, and Peter McHenry as Mayusov. Episode 1, A Family Reunion.
My name is Alexei Fyodorovich Karamazov. I am the third son of Fyodor Pavlovich Karamazov, a wealthy landowner in the small town of Skotoprikonyevsk. My story begins 13 years ago when I was 20 years old, my brother Ivan 24, and my brother Dmitry 28. It is a story of passion, mystery, and violence. The story of an event which shook our small town and scandalized the whole of Russia. All three of us, the brothers Karamazov, were brought up by relatives, away from our father and our hometown. When I was nearly 20, I was overwhelmed by the desire to go back to the town where I was born. I wanted to see my father again. I wanted to know what sort of man he was.
Damn and brass.
Grigory, where the hell are you? Grigory!
Yes, Mr. Karamazov.
Where the devil have you been?
Sweeping the yard, sir.
Get me another bottle of vodka.
Right you are, sir.
Now bloody well move yourself. It's like the Gobi Desert here. Stop messing about, Grigory. I'm thirsty. Get your fat ass in here. About time, too.
Excuse me.
Who the devil are you?
Don't you recognize me?
Recognize you? Do you owe me money?
No. Father.
Father? That's not very funny, young man.
Alexei Fyodorovich Karamazov. Your son.
Alexei? Well, of course, my little Alyosha, let me look at you. Bless my soul. Why didn't you let me know you were coming? My boy! It has been so long I'm overcome. Come, Alyosha, sit down. How long is it now? A year, two, three since I saw you?
More like 15.
15, it can't be. Grigory, my dear chap, look who's here.
Well, bless me.
Little Alyosha! Not so much
as
little.
Not at all little anymore. Mr. Alyosha, how are you?
I'm very well, Grigory.
So tall, so handsome, so grown up.
There's quite enough of that. Go and get some bread and cheese. I'm sure the boy's starving.
Of course, I'll get Martha to warm up some soup.
You can leave the vodka here, Grigory.
Oh, yes. Dear me, what a surprise.
Dodgy old fool, here, have a drink.
I don't drink, Father.
Really? Well, you don't mind if I do. Cheers.
Cheers.
No. He's loyal, old Grigory. Don't know what to do without him. Especially at night, when the rats take over. If I need him, he's always happy to discuss the price of barley.
Does he still live in the cottage?
Yes, him and Martha. And Smerdyakov, an orphan, beggar woman's child. Brought him up as their own. Bit mad, but his fish soup is out of this world. Now, tell me about you. Still at school?
No, I finished school.
Have you? You don't need money, do you?
No, Father, no. I don't need money.
What have you come back here for?
I want to know about my mother. I know she was called Sophia.
Poor Sophia. 16 when I met her. An orphan. Gentle, innocent eyes that cut into my heart like a knife. Such a beautiful woman.
How long were you married?
8 years before the tragic illness took her from me. leaving me with two beautiful, beautiful boys. Ivan and you.
And then?
I was distraught. Old Grigori and Martha looked after you at first, and then Sophia's relatives wanted to take you. What could I do? How could I look after you? Oh, the anguish of a father's heart.
I would like to visit her grave. Where is she buried?
In the cemetery.
Where exactly?
In the ground somewhere. Somewhere.
Will you take me to her grave, Father?
No, you don't want to visit a depressing cemetery, Alyosha. You're young. You must enjoy yourself. Forget about the past.
At least tell me where it is.
Ask Grigori. He'll take you. He was very fond of your poor mother. Oh, dear. Pour me another drink, would you, my little Alyosha?
I'm afraid it's only a plain gravestone, Mr. Alyosha.
What's written on it?
Her name, her age, and a simple verse. I thought the verse would be a nice touch.
Did you choose it?
Of course. Who else?
I thought my father.
Bless you, Mr. Alyosha. Your father hasn't been near the place since the funeral.
What was my mother like, Grigori?
Miss Sophia was a gentle, sensitive creature. Your father treated her very badly. Probably because she didn't bring a dowry with her.
Tell me.
Parties. Wild parties. Poor Miss Sophia couldn't take it. She used to lose control, go into terrible hysterical fits. You look like her, you know.
I was very young when she died. But I remember her. It's like a dream. An evening. A quiet summer evening. An open window, the slanting rays of the setting sun. An icon in the corner of the room. My mother is kneeling before the icon, crying, screaming.
That's it, that's her.
She catches me up in her arms, hugs me so tightly that it hurts, and then holds me out to the Virgin Mary, as if begging her to protect me. And then a nurse runs in and snatches me away.
Poor Miss Sophia.
I can see her so clearly, like a shaft of light in the darkness.
Perhaps I shouldn't have spoken like that about your father.
No, I don't mind, Grigori. I don't judge you.
How long are you going to stay here, Mr. Alyosha?
I've come home for good.
But you can't live here with your father. He's not at all the right influence for a young man.
I shan't live with my father. I shall go to the monastery.
The elder Zosima's a wonderful man. They say he can perform miracles.
The monastery was on the outskirts of town. Pilgrims, aristocrats and peasants all came to confess their fears and doubts, their sins and their sufferings, and to ask for the blessing of the elder Zosima. After a long interview, he agreed to take me in as a novice.
Devil put this rubbish into your head.
It isn't rubbish,
Father. You'll be bored to tears, Alyosha.
Zosima is a cheerful man.
You've got to watch these monks. I heard a story about an elder just like yours. One of his disciples died suddenly, and during the funeral, the coffin kept sliding out of the church all by itself. They couldn't bury the disciple until the elder had given the man absolution. Do you believe in that kind of nonsense?
I have complete faith.
What's so special about this Zosima, then?
He makes you feel that however sinful the world is, you can still find someone holy. Hmm. He knows the truth about everything.
He sounds like a saint.
He is. I believe that.
I had a feeling you might end up doing something crazy like this. Tell me. Do they want money for you?
I don't know.
If they want money, I'll give them money.
Money isn't important to me.
You will make a wonderful monk. I know about a monastery which has a whole load of monastery wives well within reach. Nothing like that here, I'm afraid. There are 200 monks wearing skirts.
I'm not forced to wear a cassock, Father. If I do, it will be because I want to.
It's been a short reunion. I suppose it's goodbye now.
Not at all. I shall be free to come and go as I please.
Perhaps it's for the best. I've often wondered who would pray for me and my sins.
I shall pray for you, Father.
I bet you will. Tell me, when I die, will the devils drag me down to hell with their hooks? They must have hooks in hell.
I'm sure there are no hooks in hell.
Has hell got a ceiling?
Why do you ask?
Well, if there's no ceiling, then there can be no hooks. And if there are no hooks, how is an old sinner like me to be punished? I tell you what, my boy, you run along to your monastery, find out the truth, and then come back and tell me.
So I have your consent?
Yes. I don't blame you for preferring to live with the monks who would want to live the greedy, drunken old man, a debauched old devil.
Father,
I know, you're an angel. Nothing touches you. Perhaps nothing will touch you in the monastery. Perhaps you'll get over it. You'll be cured and come back to me. I'll be waiting for you. Do you hate me, Alyosha?
Of course not. I don't judge you, Father.
You're the only man in the world who doesn't condemn me.
That can't be true.
It is. I know it is. I'm sure of it. Everyone else condemns me. But not you.
Soon after I entered the monastery, my eldest brother Meteor came back. His mother was Father's first wife, a rich aristocrat. She ran away to Petersburg, leaving Meteor when he was 3 years old. Grigori and Marfa looked after Meteor, and Peter Mayusov, one of his mother's relatives, took him to Moscow, where he grew up. Unlike Ivan and myself, Meteor had kept in touch with Father over the years.
Meteor? Well, well. Come to see your beloved father,
How are you, Father?
Couldn't be better. Your little brother Alyosha's in town.
Alyosha? Since when?
Oh, I don't know. Got some obsession with monks. You wouldn't recognize him.
Father, I don't know what he looks like. I've never seen him.
Oh, no. I forgot. I know. We'll have a family reunion. Let's drink to that. How are things?
Not too bad.
What's that scar on your face?
Scar? Oh, it's nothing, a stupid duel.
Over a woman, eh?
Look, I can't stay long, Father.
How much is it this time? Another 100?
I was hoping for a bit more.
150?
No, not 150.
Gambling debt? Too many girls to keep happy?
It's not exactly current expenses.
You know, Michum, I had great hopes for you. Thought you'd make offers of material. Well, never mind. Chip off the old block.
Father, I'm of age now.
So you are. Fine, young man.
I want my share of the estate.
Your what?
I don't want to rely on your goodwill anymore. I'm old enough to have what is rightfully mine. I want my property. What's so funny?
Have you any idea how much money you had from me over the years?
No, I haven't kept count.
Well, I have dribs and drabs, bit here, bit there. Monsieur, old chap, you have no property.
All the money you sent me over the years, that was an advance against my inheritance.
That's right.
Well, now I want the rest of it.
The money I've sent you exceeds the value of the property. I'm saying, my dear Monsieur, that I believe you are actually in debt to me. You owe your father a lot of money.
You are lying.
I'm not lying. Unlike some people, I keep accounts. I know what I own, and I know what I'm owed.
You're a thieving old bastard.
I can't possibly be accused of stealing what's mine.
And what about what is rightfully mine? My share of my mother's money.
I have just explained you have had every penny of what is rightfully yours, and more. You're lucky to have a father as generous as I am.
I don't believe a word of it! I will take you to court.
You do that! You do that. We'll soon see whose side the law is on.
I did not meet Meteor on that occasion. He went back to Moscow and started legal proceedings against father. Then, when I had been in the monastery for about a year, Ivan came home. Ivan was 4 years older than I, and I had not seen him since the age of 13 when he went to Moscow. He did brilliantly at school and worked hard to finance his university studies, writing articles and book reviews. He was living in Father's house when we met again. I wanted very much to be friends, but it wasn't easy.
It's good to see you again, Ivan.
Yes.
Are you going to stay here?
It depends.
I see. May I ask why you've come back?
Well, it wasn't my idea. Meteor wrote to me last month. He wants me to talk to Father.
What about?
Meteor and Father are in dispute over money.
Oh. If I suddenly had a lot of money, I'd probably lose it or give it away.
What matters to you, then?
God and immortality.
It's that simple, is it?
Yes, it is. I hope to take vows when the time comes.
You and I are very different. I am an atheist.
Oh, I think that if I didn't believe in God, I would be an atheist, and perhaps even a socialist like you.
Perhaps. Presumably you have some kind of teacher, a mentor.
Yes, the Elder Zosima, a saint.
You believe in miracles as well?
Of course.
I don't. I am a realist. A materialist, you might say.
So am I, possibly even more of a realist than you are.
How is that?
For a realist, faith is not created by a miracle, but the miracle is created by faith. Once a realist admits to having faith, then he must believe in miracles.
Because he wants to believe.
Exactly. Because he chooses to have faith.
And what is so saintly about this Elder Zosima?
He is holy. His heart contains the secret of renewal for us all, the power which will bring back truth on earth, when there will be no more rich or poor, exalted or humbled. All men will be as the children of God, and the real kingdom of Christ will come.
Well, well, well.
Only 4 years between us and two sets of entirely different beliefs. I actually made friends far more quickly with Meteor, who returned shortly afterwards. And so, for the first time, the three brothers Karamazov were reunited with their father.
Your health, my sons. What a lucky man I am. Surrounded by my three beloved sons and my respected relative, Peter Mayusov. This feels more like a funeral than a celebration. How about some coffee? You don't like coffee, eh? With some brandy.
Father, coffee can wait until we've discussed business.
Business?
You know what I mean.
Oh, come on. No sordid talk among friends.
Ivan knows everything.
Ganging up on your poor old father already?
Not at all, father. Mitya has confided...
I will not be put on trial by my sons. We have a nice family get-together. Or you can all go the hell out. Please excuse my language, Mr. Mayus.
I have no choice, Mr. Karamazov.
What does that mean?
Please, no quarrels.
This isn't a quarrel, Alyosha. I have my rights, and I insist on having them.
I thought you couldn't wait to drag me through the courts.
I would prefer to settle it out of court.
That would make sense, Seth.
Don't talk to me about sense.
Perhaps I can help.
There now. There. Look what you've done. You're bothering little Alyosha's head with quite irrelevant things. Can't you see that his mind is filled with the thoughts of his saintly elder? He is above material greed.
Don't you bloody well try and get
calm
out of it.
Calm down, Mitya.
All right, if you don't want to sort it out now, then we will have to leave it to the courts.
I don't want bureaucrats messing around in my private life.
What do you suggest, then?
Suggest? How else should I know? I was expecting to have a few drinks, talk about old times. I have it, Alyosha. Your Lucima, he is learned, kind, just, a saint, in fact.
Yes.
Yes. We shall cast ourselves on his mercy and ask him to arbitrate. What can be fairer than that?
Well, I don't know.
You can't come up with a single rational objection. It's a brilliant idea.
It is a most original thought, Mr. Karamazov. I wouldn't mind having a reason to visit the monastery.
There you are, even by yourself agreeing.
I have a lawsuit outstanding against the place.
Really?
Yes, a dispute about fishing rights on my land. Ooh. It's been going on for years. I could have a quick word with the Father Superior.
There, then, that's settled. Hmm.
I don't want my rights discussed by a lot of ignorant monks.
We're not talking about ignorant monks. We're talking about a saint.
Here, Lucia.
You've got nothing to lose, Mitya.
There. There speaks a rational man.
You are up to something.
Nonsense! I want a solution. A reconciliation.
Now, you want me to change my mind?
Please, let's not start again.
Quite right, my Yusuf. Alyosha, will you arrange it for us?
The elder Zosima has been very ill. He hardly leaves his cell.
We can wait till he's well enough to arrange an appointment. All right. Mitya, where are you going?
I am going home.
Oh, come now. A drink.
I don't want your hospitality. Goodbye.
We'll let you know about the day and time. Mitya.
And so, on a warm, sunny day at the end of August, two carriages were on the road to the monastery. In a large, rickety old carriage drawn by a pair of ancient pinkish-grey horses rode Ivan and my father. In the other, an elegant barouche rode Peter Mayusov, a freethinker who had fought in Paris in the Revolution of 1848. I was waiting in the monastery.
It is warm, very warm. That rat, Peter, had better be there.
He'll be there, Father.
I'll tell you something in confidence, Ivan. I gave 1,000 rubles to the monastery for a requiem mass for Midget's mother. He'd sing a different tune if he knew that.
What on earth made you do that?
I don't know. Just felt like it.
Here, Father.
Oh, yes. Bloody great wall, eh? Keep us out and them in.
Come on, Karamazov. We'll have to walk from here.
Let me help you down, Father.
Oh, thanks. All right. Now what?
No idea. I haven't been to church for 30 years.
I think they'd send someone to meet us.
Excuse me, Pansas. Can you spare a ruble, sir?
Get away from me.
Here you are, my man. Here's a 10 kopeck piece.
Bless you, sir. Bless you.
You shouldn't encourage beggars, my son.
Come on, you two, through this door. A bit of a walk will do you good, Father.
Not a damn pilgrim, not a visitor.
It's not often that one of the richest landowners in the district visits the monastery.
They're lucky to have me at all.
I was referring to myself, actually.
Gentlemen. Mr. Karamazov, I presume.
Indeed, my good man.
Father Yosef, please. Do come with me. The elder Zosima is expecting you.
Oh, most kind, my good man.
We've been granted a private audience with him, you see.
On an important matter of family business.
After your visit with the elder gentleman, you are invited to dine with the Father Superior.
Good, good. I have one or two matters I would like to raise with him.
Has my eldest son, Mitya, arrived yet?
No, sir. No one else has arrived.
With a bit of luck, he won't turn up at all. Then I can get my business sorted out with the Father Superior.
No, who's idea?
Huh?
Oh, yes, of course. We are approaching the holy place.
Why on earth are you crossing yourself, you old hypocrite?
Oh, we're in Rome, in a manner of speaking. Did you know, Ivan, that no woman is allowed to enter the gates of the Hermitage? Isn't that so, Father Yosef? And yet, I've heard the elder does receive ladies.
It is true. There is a special room outside the Hermitage wall where the ladies wait to see the elder. And, of course, the peasant women see him in the yard.
Ah! Father, isn't it true that on Mount Athos, no creatures of the female sex are allowed? No hens, no chicks, no turkeys, no calves.
They'll throw you out, Karamazov.
I'm asking a perfectly simple theological question. You're not offended, are you, Father?
Not at all, sir. We're here, gentlemen.
They were in a large courtyard which extended from the nearby cemetery. Everywhere there were flowers, between the graves, climbing up the stone walls. Roses twined round the porch of the single-story wooden house in which the elder Zosima lived.
If you will excuse me, gentlemen, I will tell Father Zosima you are here.
Thank you, Father Yosef.
Mr. Mayusov, they say that the elder can tell by a man's eyes what sins are on his conscience.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
You've gone pale. A sophisticated man with Parisian habits and progressive views. Follow my example. Cool, relax.
The elder will see you now, gentlemen.
The elder's cell was sparsely furnished. Two flower pots on the windowsill, some icons in a corner in front of which a lamp burned. Nearby, a Catholic ivory cross, a few engravings of the paintings of the great Italian masters, and portraits of Russian bishops.
I can't say I think much of the elder, Karamazov.
Nor me.
The elder was about 65, thin and bent with illness. His face was delicate, wrinkled, his eyes shining like two bright points. He smiled often.
Is he expecting us to do that bow and kiss his hand like Father Yosef?
God knows.
This is my father, Mr. Karamazov. My brother, Ivan, and our relative, Mr. Mayusov, the elder Zosima.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Oh, good to see you, Holiness. We're here on the dot of 12 as arranged. Punctual. Which is more than I can say for my eldest son.
Gentlemen, please be seated.
Very kind.
I'm afraid the chairs are not very grand.
Oh, spare no expense for us. We don't mind where we sit, do we, Mayusov?
No. Alyosha, will you sit too?
I'll stand, Holy Father.
As you wish.
Holy Elder, you see before you an old fool, a clown, who can talk the hind leg off a donkey. I can tell you, it lands me in hot water sometimes.
Shut up, you old fool.
If there is an evil spirit in my soul, it is only a little one. Underneath, I am a true believer.
Oh, God.
Your eldership, do you know the story about the philosopher Diderot? Went to visit the head of the church, and the minute he got into the great man's presence, he said, "There is no God." To which the patriarch replied, "The madman hath said in his heart, there is no God." Whereupon Diderot threw himself on the floor and said, "I believe!
I will be baptized.
That is me all over.
That story's a lie, Karamazov.
Is it? What, did I just make it up? No, 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 I heard the story from you, Mr. Bayusov.
Preposterous. Your Holiness, I apologize for Mr. Karamazov's lack of politesse. I wish to disassociate myself from his behavior.
Great Elder, have I insulted you with my high spirit, my natural exuberance?
Not at all, Mr. Karamazov. And you, Mr. Mayusov, do not distress yourself. There's nothing for anyone to be ashamed of.
Oh, most holy being, when you spoke the word ashamed, you struck a chord deep within me. It is from shame that I behave this way. I want nothing more than to be a good man. Master, what must I do to be granted eternal grace?
I imagine you know very well. Give up drink, abandon all incontinence of speech, cease in your sensual pursuits, and struggle against avarice. Above all, do not tell lies.
Lies? Oh, you mean that story about Diderot?
I mean stop lying to yourself. A man who lies to himself cannot appreciate the truth, and thus he loses his capacity to love.
Holy Elder. Holy Elder, let me kiss your hand.
There is no need.
I must. There. Your blessed reverence, I am a liar. I lie every second of my life. Please forgive me. And yet, may one not just sometimes tell a teensy-weensy lie about Diderot? It does no harm.
Excuse me, the people are waiting to see you, Elder Zossima.
Oh. I wonder, gentlemen, if you would excuse me for a few minutes.
I shall be back very soon. Only please don't stand on ceremony with us.
Would you like to lean on me, Father Zossima?
Just give me your arm, Alyosha.
I did not tell you the story about Diderot. You did! You told me the story.
You are a disgrace, Karamazov. Oh. A complete disgrace, Poe.
About 20 peasant women were clustered near the hermitage wall. When they saw the elder, they came towards him, holding their arms out for his blessing. One young woman remained kneeling, a little away from the others. We went towards her.
Have you come far, my child?
200 miles, Father.
Why are you weeping?
For my little boy. Oh, he would have been 3 years old next birthday. I look at his shirt, his boots, and I cry. There is nothing left for me.
Every time you weep, remember that your son is one of the angels of the Lord. And in the end, your weeping will turn into quiet joy, and your heart will be purified. What was your son's name?
Alexei.
A sweet name. I shall pray for him.
Thank you, Father. You have comforted me.
The woman shrieking was a village woman, one of those who went to morning mass, barking and squealing like dogs. As soon as they were led to the host, they quietened down. It was an illness that afflicted many women who had to go back to work in the fields after a difficult birth. Other women became shriekers after continual beatings from their husbands.
May the Holy Father bless you, child.
As soon as the elder put his shawl over her, she calmed. These women believed they were possessed by evil spirits which would only leave them in the presence of God.
Is there anyone else, my son?
It's just Mrs. Koklikoff and her daughter, Lise.
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. Koklikoff was a rich young widow who had just arrived in town.
Father Zossima, you have cured my little Lise.
But she's still in her wheelchair.
Lise was 14, a little thin with a lovely face, big dark eyes and long lashes. Her legs were paralyzed.
Oh, she can't walk yet, but her night fevers have practically disappeared since we saw you on Thursday. And today, she stood up for a whole minute without my support.
I shall be dancing the quadrille in a week.
I called in Dr. Hetzenstube, and he didn't know what to make of it. It's a miracle. Please, thank Father Zosima.
I would like to.
Please, behave yourself.
But it's him. Look, isn't he funny?
Please, that's young Mr. Karamazov.
I know.
Please, stop it. How are you, young man?
Oh, very well, Mrs. Kotlikoff. Hello, Lise.
How are you, Father Zosima? You look a little pale.
Oh, I'm better today. But it is only temporary.
Truly, God can never take you away from us.
Mr. Karamazov, I have dropped my blanket. Well,
then I shall pick it up for you. There.
Why don't you come and visit us like you used to?
I have been very busy, Lise.
You used to come and read me stories. Alyosha, take this envelope quickly. Don't let Mother see you. Open it when you are alone. Oh, dear. My rug has slipped again.
Lise, you pushed it off. I saw you.
I have lost my faith. I can no longer believe in a life after death.
You must practice an active love. Love your neighbours, and slowly you will come to believe in the immortality of your soul.
It is all so difficult. Sometimes I dream of giving it all up. Leaving Lise. Becoming a nurse. Caring for the dying, bandaging festering sores.
Perhaps you could do some good service to humanity.
But then I think, what if the patient isn't grateful? What then? You see, I can only work if I'm praised and loved.
But real active love means hard work, tenacity, a lifetime of devotion.
You're an inspiration, Father. Thank you. Will you bless Lise before we go?
I'm not sure if she deserves to be blessed. She's been teasing Alyosha ever since we arrived.
Oh, Lise, you are naughty.
Oh, he's the one who's naughty. He told me to read and he said I could call him Alyosha. And then he went away. And now he behaves as if he hardly knows me. Why won't he come and visit us? Have you forbidden him?
Lise, really?
No, not at all, my dear. He can come and go as he pleases.
Why is he trying to save his stupid soul? And why is he wearing that silly cassock?
I will come and visit you, Lise. I promise.
There you are, my dear. Now, dry your eyes, and I will bless you.
Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you.
Thank you, Holy Father.
As we walked back to the elder's cell, I could see that Zosima's face was ashen, as if he were about to faint.
Father, shall I tell my family to leave?
No. No, Alyosha. I shall be all right.
In the cell, the others were absorbed in an animated discussion.
Mr. Ivan Karamazov, have I understood you properly? You are against the separation of church and state.
That's right.
Ivan is the gift of the unopinionated
young puppy. Which underlie church and state are so incompatible as to make any reconciliation between them quite out of the question.
Long words.
The church only occupies a limited space in the state. It is therefore quite logical that the church should control the state.
Clever, eh?
Could you expand on your interesting logical proposition, Mr. Karamazov?
Certainly. During the first 3 centuries of Christianity, the church was simply the church. Then the pagan Roman state decided to convert to Christianity, and it followed that it remained a pagan state, and incorporated the church as just one of a number of institutions within it.
Brilliant man.
Now, this created a dilemma for the church, which cannot modify any of its principles. The church's aim must be to convert the whole world into one church, if it is not to be absorbed and counteracted by the principles of a secular or a pagan state.
Surely, according to modern Russian ideas, it is the other way round. It is not the church which takes over the state, but the state ends up with the status of the church.
I see what Ivan is getting at. He is referring to the realization of some remote ideal represented by the second coming of Christ. A beautiful utopian dream in which wars, diplomacy, banks all disappear. A sort of socialism, eh?
Not at all, Mr. Myers.
Come on! You mean that the church would try criminal cases and sentence people to be flogged? Or even pass the death sentence?
If the church was in charge, Then the criminals would be excommunicated, not executed.
Now you are joking.
Mr. Karamazov is talking about real rather than technical punishments for crime.
I don't follow you.
Well, a sentence of hard labor in Siberia doesn't reform anyone. It doesn't deter others from committing crimes. There is only one kind of real rehabilitation, and that is through the law of Christ, which manifests itself in the conscience of the individual.
Bravo!
Yeah, yeah. At the moment, the church cannot influence the criminal. But if the church could punish by excommunication, well, that would be an influence indeed.
You are talking about giving the church the powers of state. It is a monstrous idea.
It is a wonderful idea. The state is transformed into the church, the great predetermined destiny of the Orthodox Church on Earth. The star will shine in the east.
Stars? What's stars got to do with... What's the time, Alyosha?
Shh, Father.
Gentlemen.
My renegade son. What the hell do you mean by making us wait?
Father Zosima, this is my eldest brother.
You should have been here at 12 o'clock.
Smerdyakov told me you said 1 o'clock.
Liar!
It doesn't matter. You're all here now. Please, sit down.
Today, Mitya looked older than his 28 years. He was thin and anxious. He wore an impeccable frock coat, black gloves, and carried a top hat.
Turning up dressed like a bloody dandy.
I shall sit near you, Father. I'm sorry, have I interrupted something?
We've finished.
No, we haven't! Ivan!
Gentlemen, Father Zosima is tired.
No, no.
It seems to me that there is no law in nature which says that a man should love his neighbor. Where such love exists, it is because people believe in immortality. If you destroy the belief in immortality, then there is no such thing as morality. In such circumstances, crime would be seen as necessary and even rational and honorable.
Just a minute. Are you saying that crime is a necessary and rational consequence of the position of an atheist?
Can we get on with the important business?
Yes, Mitya, that is exactly what I mean.
So anything goes?
That's right.
Mr. Ivan, you must either be very blessed or very unhappy.
Why unhappy?
Because you neither believe in the immortality of your own soul, nor in what you've just said about church and state.
I wasn't altogether joking.
I know that. I think you are obsessed by a question to which you do not know the answer. So in your despair, you write articles and take part in arguments. Therein lies your great grief.
Do you think I will ever find an answer, Father Zosima?
I can't say. But you should thank the Creator who has given you a superior heart capable of such pain. May God bless your search.
As the elder was about to make the sign of the cross, Ivan kneeled before him and kissed his hand.
Most divine, holy elder, in this son, Ivan, I have a man who understands the meaning of respect. Here, on the other hand, is another son, Mitya, who doesn't know the meaning of the word, and against whom I have come to seek justice.
Mr. Karamazov, please don't insult your son before we have even begun.
Reverend Father, for some perverse reason, my father wants a public scandal.
See, they all accuse me. My son accuses me. Mr. Mayusov accuses me.
I haven't said a word.
I'm accused of stealing my children's money, stuffing it into my boots. I tell you, Mitya, if we get into a court, they'll go into it all properly there. They'll see the letters, the papers you've signed, how much you've had, how much you've squandered on your decadent living.
My God, you can...
Even a close relative, like Mr. Mayusov, refuses to arbitrate, refuses to help me.
You've never asked me.
And why does he refuse? Because everyone is against me.
Could you explain, Mr. Karamazov?
My son Mitya thinks I owe him money. The opposite is true. He owes me thousands of rubles, and I've got the papers to prove it. He's a dishonest one, not me. Look, Mr. Elder, I don't like to talk about such things in your presence. But my son Mitya, when he was in the army, pay off the fathers of a number of respectable girls whom he had seduced.
Why, Mitya!
True!
young girl, Katerina, daughter of a colonel. He turned her head. He got engaged to her, then he left her, and she's followed him all the way here to this.
Now you leave Katerina out of
this. What's he doing? What is he doing? He's chasing after another woman. A woman of easy virtue. A tart of... saving your presence. The only reason he wants money, the only reason he wants to drag his poor old father through the sordid courts is because he wants money to spend on this Grushenka.
Shut your damn mouth, you old fool.
Oh, Mitya. How can you speak to your loving father like
that? A lying hypocrite.
Oh, am I? Am I? This gentleman, this is a man who beats up retired army captains for no reason at all. A certain Captain Snegiryov, for example.
There was a reason.
Dmitri, please, tell us the reason.
My father had certain IOUs which I had given him for some of the money which he claims I owe him. He gave these to Captain Snegiryov to give to Grushenka in the hope that she would then sue me for the money. My father wants me put in prison.
Absolute lie.
Grushenka told me that you, my dear father, suggested that she should lead me on, get me to fall for her. You want me out of the way because you are after Grushenka yourself. You are a disgusting old
you
man.
You bastard.
Holy Elder, I am sorry. Please, please, forgive me. I really didn't mean to lose my temper. I came here ready to forgive my father, prepared to shake hands with him, but I cannot tolerate such vile and unjust accusations.
I knew something like this would happen. A father and son scrapping over a disreputable woman.
She is not disreputable.
And what about your fiancée, Katerina?
You shouldn't be allowed to live.
Did you hear that? Threatening to kill his own father.
I have heard of Miss Grushenka Svetlov.
Grushenka is worth more than any of you monks.
Oh.
Blasphemy now. She may have fallen in her youth. She may have been a victim of her environment. But didn't Christ himself forgive the woman who loved much?
Christ did not forgive that kind of love.
No, yes, he did, Father Yosef. Just that kind of love. You monks sit here, day after day, guzzling cabbage soup, and you think you are righteous men.
That is enough, Father. Remember where you are.
Absolutely outrageous, such blasphemy.
Please, Father Yosef.
He's gone too far.
Now you can see my father for what he really is.
Gentlemen, silence. Please be quiet.
The elder rose slowly and painfully and went down on his knees before Mitya. With great deliberation, Zosima bent and touched the ground with his forehead.
Forgive me. Forgive me, all of you.
Oh, Lord. I must get out of here. I must go.
The place is full of madmen.
Mr. Mayuzov, we are due to go and dine with the father's imperial.
I can't face it.
No, no. I yourself, you go to mine. I shall send my apologies and go home. I couldn't eat a thing anyway, not a mouthful. You, my dear relative, can go in my
place. I am not your dear relative.
Well, I'm going to eat. You can both do as you please.
Now, on second thoughts, all this talking has made me a bit peckish. I have behaved badly, Van. Perhaps I should atone by gracing Father Superior's table, I'm sure. I shall be so miserable I shan't enjoy a single dish.
Mr. Myersoff?
I suppose I should go. We really ought to apologise for all the fuss we've made. Mm. I don't see your father doing that.
Come on, then. We're half an hour late as it is.
Father Zosima's cell was tiny. A narrow iron bed with a strip of felt instead of a mattress. In the corner, some icons, and next to them, a lectern with a cross and the gospel lying open.
I'm tired.
So very tired.
Lie down, Father. Can I get you something to drink?
No. You go and eat to the others.
I'd rather stay here with you.
Now, there will be no peace there. Perhaps if evil spirits appear, you can say a prayer.
Very well.
Just one thing.
Some tea?
No. I want to say, this isn't the place for you, Alyosha. As soon as it is God's will to call me, you must leave the monastery for good.
But
Why?
There is work for you to do. You're meant for great service. You must go out into the world, perhaps even get married.
Father Zosima, do you doubt my faith?
I have no doubts about your faith. That is why I can send you into the world. Christ is with you. You will know great sorrow, and in that sorrow, you will be happy. Oh, you must not weep. In this place, we rejoice for the father who departs. Leave me now. I must pray. Go and join your brothers, Ivan and Mitya. They need you.
In order to get from the hermitage to the monastery, I had to walk through a small wood.
Alyosha! Hey there! Wait for me!
It was Misha Rakitin, a young seminarist who is staying in the monastery. The last person I wanted to see at that moment.
Hey, where are you off to?
I've got to go to the Father Superior's.
Can't just come from there. They haven't even started on the first course yet. Hey, what a business. Father Zosima prostrating himself before your brother Mitya. It's all over the monastery. What does it mean?
I don't know.
There's got to be a reason for it. The old man's no fool. Your family gives off the smell of evil, like some kind of aura.
I don't understand a word you're saying, Misha.
Zosima is a crafty devil. He can tell that something is going to happen to your family. He wants it said that he predicted it. So, he bows before a murderer.
What murderer?
Come on, Alyosha. You've had murder in your heart.
Me? Well, yes, I suppose I have at some time or other.
Did the thought of murder enter your mind as you watched your father and your brother arguing today?
I don't know.
You've only got to look at your father and your brother Mitya to know that one day the sparks will fly.
That's just silly.
Your brother Mitya is an honest man, but he's stupid. He's just like your father, a mindless hedonist, a sensualist. Not like you, little Alyosha.
Please.
You're a Karamazov, but you're different. You're still a virgin, aren't you?
Misha!
All right, I won't tease you anymore. But I'll tell you something. I was talking to Grushenka Svetlov the other day, and she said that if I brought you to visit her, she would guarantee to get your cassock off you.
You know Grushenka?
Oh, yes. She's playing games with your father and Mitya. She knows your father has money, but he won't marry her, whereas Mitya has no money, but he can make an honest woman of her. What a triangle. And then there's the other triangle.
What other triangle?
Oh, what an innocent you are, Alyosha. Ivan has been visiting Katerina, Mitya's fiancée.
I don't believe
you. It's true. Katerina will get a dowry of 60,000 rubles.
Ivan is not interested in money.
Oh, dear me. The torment of the spirit, the anguish of the sensitive, intellectual soul. You aristocrats make me sick.
Misha, have you had an argument with Ivan?
No. He was round at Katerina's the other night. He said he didn't believe I was serious about being a monk. I'd end up in Petersburg scribbling for literary magazines. I wouldn't let my socialist tendencies stop me from investing my money. Why are you laughing?
Because he's absolutely right. That is exactly what you will do, Misha, and you know it. Oh, you've cheered me up.
I can't see why.
I'm sorry. I must say, I don't see how you can keep up your studies if you spend every evening visiting friends.
I'm sociable. I like to know what's going on.
You're not having an affair with Grushenka yourself, are you?
Certainly not.
Good. Now, excuse me, I must hurry.
They've got three kinds of bread. Fish soup, followed by boiled fish. Then salmon cutlets, ice cream and stewed fruit, and then fruit jelly. Not a drop of vodka, though. Just French wine. Not a very good vintage, either.
Goodbye, Rakitin.
As I hurried on, I remembered the envelope Lise had secretly given to me. I opened it and read the letter. It was from Katerina, Mitya's fiancée. The note was short and friendly, and asked me to go and visit her as soon as I possibly could. She wanted to talk to me about a matter of the utmost importance.
In the first episode of The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky,
Fyodor Karamazov was played by Freddie Jones, and Alyosha by Michael Maloney. Mitya was Stuart Wilson. Ivan, Tim Briley. Mayuzov, Peter McHenry. Father Zosima, Roger Hume. Grigori, Edwin Richfield. Father Joseph, Roger Rowland. Rikitin, David Van. Mrs. Koklokoff, Gillian Goodman. Lise, Charlotte Martin. And the woman, Susan Mansell. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wondor, The Brothers Karamazov was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Philip Martin.
The Brothers Karamazov was translated by David Magashak. And you'll be able to hear episode 2, An Introduction to Love, at the same time, 2 minutes past 3, next Friday afternoon.